live. I'm sorry, click on more, and it'll give you live events. When you click on the more tab in the bottom right, live events will populate. And you'll actually have a digitized copy of our sermon notes along with the scriptures. I want to thank Brother Marcus Raven for getting that every week for us. So if you don't want to have a paper trail, you can do it that way. And you can save it to your device. Amen, somebody. And they are editable and all that goes along with that. Daniel chapter 6, those that have found it say, I've got it. We're going to read very likely verses 1 through 10. And then we have a short clip that captures the essence of the message. And then we will dive right in to the message for today. Thank God for this music ministry one more time. Come on, just give God a little praise right there. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Listen from the Christian Standard Bible. Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom stationed throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. But they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, we will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God. So the administrators and satraps went together to the king and said to him, my king, Darius, live forever. All the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days, anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as a law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius signed the written edict. Verse 10, when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house, the windows in its upstairs room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And the people of God said, amen. Before you take your seats, I'm going to teach from this subject, dare to be different. You may be seated right now in the presence of the Lord, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father God, we glorify you. We honor you. We're grateful to you for all that we've experienced thus far. As a matter of fact, Lord, you met us in this holy place, and we are grateful for your presence. Lord, you thought enough of us to not only send Jesus, but to send your spirit. And Father, we are rejoicing evermore because of the relationship we have with you through Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I pray that as we make preparations for back to school, as we make preparations for back to church, as we make preparations for even back to work, that you speak to each of us, Lord God, that we would receive the edict, the challenge from you, which is to be different. Father, may we do so with courage. May we do so with power, conviction, and authority. May we allow our lights to shine in this dark and benighted world. Father, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. And we submit this prayer to you by faith. In the name of Jesus, let the people of God say amen. We are ready.
Courage, Some think it's that first dive into the deep end, stepping up to the plate with the game on the line, asking someone out, jumping out of an airplane, or running into a burning building. But there are subtler, quieter, and more powerful forms of courage. Courage is refusing to cheat even when you can get away with it. Going against the crowd even if it gets you laughed at. Standing up for the kid who everyone else is ripping. Doing what is right instead of what is cool. Spending your life on others instead of living for yourself. Fighting injustice no matter the cost. Risking your life to spread the gospel. Courage is doing the right thing even when it's the hard thing. Even if the entire planet is against you, courage stands strong, even if it stands alone.
Courage stands strong, even if it stands alone. Dare to be different. Thank you so much, ushers. Our message moment opens with this statement. With all that's been invested in you, be willing to be different for His glory. With all that's been invested in you, be willing to be different for His glory. Here's the situation. You're a youngster. You choose to do what everybody else is doing, whatever that may be. You end up getting caught, and as a consequence, into trouble for your actions. But you were simply doing what everybody else was doing. But not everybody else has to go to your house. Is it coming back to you now? You remember? Yeah. So here's how the conversation very likely went. This is you speaking. But everybody else is doing it. And here's that voice that comes bellowing in response. I don't care what everybody else is doing. All I care about is what you are doing. You don't get to do what everybody else does. Oh, y'all feeling me now. And y'all, that's the challenge for us, for the believer. I truly understand that everybody else is doing it. I get it. I see it. I witness it. It traumatizes me as well, but we don't get to do and to be everybody else. So last week we talked about it's okay to be different. Young people, I want to push it even further, and I want you to understand that it is expected for you to be different. There is an expectation for every child of God that we are different. Y'all help me teach this. Look at your neighbor and say different. Come on, look at the other one and say different. So we make our way still into the book of Daniel. We just can't seem to get out of Daniel because the next verse is always saying, say something about me. But Daniel has demonstrated in his book and in his life what it means to be a man of integrity. Daniel was an advisor. He was a wise guy. And he advised these kings and these officials. Because he had a one-on-one connection with the Lord. And so Daniel and his leadership in Daniel chapter 2, he stepped in when the king was about to slaughter all of the other wise folk. Because the king had a ridiculous request that he wanted somebody to tell him what he was dreaming. But in the fullness of time, Daniel and the Lord showed him what he needed to see. But not only that, Daniel also helped the confused find their way. That's Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar was going through it. He was falling in and out of sanity. And Daniel gave him clear revelation from God. of what would transpire in his life. And as a consequence, King Nebuchadnezzar regained his sanity. He even showed people their faith. That's Daniel chapter 5. The following king was just toe up from the flow up. And there were some things taking place, and there was scribbling on the wall, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. He was petrified. So they called in Daniel. Daniel comes on the scene, said, no, I don't want your gifts. Let me tell you what they're saying, and then I'm out. And he communicated with that then king, your time is up, bro. As a matter of fact, you about to give it up right now. They're going to take you out. And as a consequence, you will no longer be king. Daniel was like, peace, I'm out. And that's what he had to say. And in the very not too distant future, that king was gone and another one was placed in authority. But y'all, yet despite Daniel's integrity, his faithfulness to his God, and his fairness to all people, he was still despised. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody up in here. You can do everything right and still be wrong with some folk. See, you're trying to understand, what is it about me that makes them dislike me so much? It ain't you, it's them. It is the fact that the Lord has set you apart to be different, and if you're anything but different, you're falling short. Somebody say, dare to be different. Daniel, he was different, he was distinct, and yet they still despised him. Look at verse 3. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. Just underline that if you can. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. No collusion. And so what's happening in the text is Daniel is carrying himself in such a way that they can't find nothing wrong with him. So verse 3, we see Daniel's favor and the king's plan. Get that down. Daniel's favor and the king's plan. Daniel's favor was so loud, it was like a cologne. Let me talk about the old school brothers in the house. Have you ever been around an old school brother? You know, the old school brother that one of his regimens in the morning is not just brushing his teeth and taking a shower, but one of his regimens is cologne. I need a witness up in here. The brother has an assortment of colognes. And depending on his mood, that will determine what you get for it. It could be Obsession. It could be Polo. It could be Givenchy. It could be Angel, depending on his mood. And the old school brother don't just put it on his body. He put it on his hands. So even if you shake his hand, watch this, you got his aroma. Y'all feeling me up in here? David's favor was like cologne. Everywhere he went, he didn't have to utter a word. It was on him. Y'all, that's what God has called us to. You don't have to be loud. You just have to be lit. You don't have to walk around preaching like Pastor Brown. You just have to set a standard of some stuff you just won't do. Help me teach this up in here. And so as a result of Daniel's favor, we discover the king had a plan. What was the plan? The king was going to put David in charge of everything. Everything. Isn't it amazing? I don't know about y'all, but I would be honored to have somebody over me who had an extraordinary spirit, who who distinguished himself, who had no corruption, who was trustworthy, who wasn't negligent. Yo, how is Daniel being put in charge a problem? See, I call this, the next section, I call this the relentless pursuit. Get this now. It is a relentless pursuit. And many of you, as I preach this, you live it. You experience it on your jobs. You experience it, unfortunately, some of you in your families. This relentless pursuit to bring down those with favor. You know you've lived it. It started when you were in middle school. You just chose to do your homework. I ain't got no help up in here. Just because you did your homework, then they're going to label you a nerd. I ain't got, maybe it was just me. Or maybe I was the one calling you a nerd. I don't know, one of them. One of the two. But just because you chose to do your work, just because, young brother, you chose to maintain your purity, just because you had a commitment to the Lord. And there was this relentless pursuit to always try to catch you in a lie. No, no, that's not what you said. No, that's exactly what I said. You're just too good. And I got to take you down. So when they can't find anything tangible about you, they start making stuff up. Oh, I know I'm preaching to somebody up in here. You ever try to figure out where a rumor or a lie just came out of the air? And they done hooked you up with somebody you don't even know. I'm trying, Sister Joyce, I'm trying. It's a relentless pursuit. Now, I mentioned earlier, listen carefully, y'all. Some of you say, yeah, I've experienced it out there, but it hurts more when I experience it. In here. And y'all, we do it to each other. We're so quick to see the evil or our perception of evil in other people. I'm telling you, we see it's a relentless pursuit. And so we can clearly see in the text, based upon verse 3 and the other chapters I've referenced, that Daniel was different. Somebody say different. He was just different. So as a consequence, there was a setup. There's going to always be a plan to get in between you and your God. I need y'all to hear me. So look at verse 5, if you will. So these men said, "We'll never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." So last week we learned about young men who refused to give in to practices that dishonor God. In today's message, Daniel refuses to give up practices that honor God. I want you to catch the difference. See, in both instances, there was a hostile plan against a holy man. So it's not an accident that your coworkers murmur and stop when you walk in. All of a sudden, they're talking about the Cowboys. Why were they whispering talking about the Cowboys? There's a hostile plan against holy people. So here's how the world thinks. I want the young people to hear this. Remember, this is a bootleg back-to-school series. We kind of stumble into it. But it's been a blessing for me, and I pray it's been for you. All these messages are on the podcast, part 1, 2, and now part 3. But it's a bootleg back to school series. But young people, hear me. Here it is. If we can't get them to stumble the way we stumble, then we'll change what stumbling looks like. Oh, I feel that by myself. Let me say it one more time. If we can't get them to stumble the way we stumble, then we'll change what stumbling looks like. Help me understand that, Pastor Brown. So in 2019, a person living and sharing their faith is now wrong. I need you to understand that. If you share your faith in 2019, you're wrong. You're a religious zealot. You're a judgmental person. If you're sharing with someone the joy that you've experienced from knowing Jesus. See, if they can get you to be wrong according to their standards, then they'll change the standard. In 2019, a young person who sets themselves apart to preserve their bodies for marriage, that is now wrong. Y'all gonna say amen when you can. See, I'm telling you, they're changing the rules. So in 2019, a couple who fights through the difficulty of marriage to uphold their covenant for better or for worse, now that's wrong. I got one more. In 2019, a church that determines to uphold scripture in its teaching, in its theology, and its vision is now wrong. So if they can't get you to stumble, they'll change what stumbling looks like. Look at verse 6. So the administrators and satraps went together to the king and said to him, "My king Darius, live forever. All the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, advisors, and governors have agreed." Uh-oh. All of them did, y'all? Did all of them? Think about it. Hold on. We're coming back to it. That the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days, anyone who petitions any god or any or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as a law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius signed the written edict. First of all, we see is the plot. Somebody say the plot. The plot began with reasoning. Transition to lying, and then it culminated in conspiring. I'm going to unpack it, but I want you to get it down quickly. It began with reasoning. So see, they reasoned amongst themselves that since we can't get him to fall, we got to change what falling looks like. And so they reasoned together. And in their reasoning, they came up with a lie. And the lie is that everyone, O king, is in agreement with this edict. As a matter of fact, we've surveyed all the satraps, prefects, and the administrators, and everyone is in agreement. Somebody say, that's a lie. But it becomes conspiring when everybody is in on it except one person. See, that's when you know it's a conspiracy. Okay, let me help somebody. I'm coming back to your jobs. Isn't this something on your job? And I was talking to a brother this morning about a situation on his job. Isn't this something, y'all, where they try to make you think you crazy? And there ain't no way everybody know all the details if y'all ain't been talking. But you just keep moving because you know you ain't crazy. But you know there's a conspiracy taking place and you're trying your best to keep it holy. Amen, somebody. But they 10 seconds away from that before Christ person, you. Some of y'all ain't laughing. I'm just joking. Y'all smile at your pastor. Good Lord. Woo! It's a conspiracy. And Daniel knew it was a conspiracy. So here's the question. What do you do when they're conspiring against you? Verse 10 says, when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house, the windows in its upstairs room opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. I got to say one more thing about the plot before I move on. See, they knew the affection that the king had for Daniel. So you could even say this was a plot against Daniel and the king, because they were trying to destroy the relationship that they had. So they gave the king misinformation in order to misguide him. But I need for you to understand something. If you would just work your scriptures and go back to the second verse, I got to press this point before I move on. The second verse, the A clause, says this: these satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. I think you missed that. The very ones who were sanctioned to help the king were seeking to hurt the king. They were not doing the job that they had been commissioned to do. So this is when you know it's a conspiracy. This is when you got to be careful, church. This is when you got to be careful. So Daniel, he's oblivious to what they've done. And so Daniel goes, verse 10, he does what he always has done. You're not going to stop me from being different. You can lie, you can reason, you can conspire. But Daniel said, I'm going to be me. So Daniel went to his house and did what he does. He prays, he bows 3 times a day, he's focused. And then verse 13, then they replied to the king, Daniel, one of the Judean exiles, has ignored you, the king, and the edict you signed. For he prays 3 times a day. As soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. He set his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him. Let's stop right there. He was upset, but not because of what Daniel had done, but he was upset because he understood he had been duped. So we have the plot, but then secondly, we have the pain. Get that down. We have the pain. So the king said, listen, I have to rescind. I have to take back this edict because you all gave me this edict under false pretenses. I have to rescind. I got to take it back. I don't mean it. Y'all, you tricked me. I've been hoodwinked, bamboozled. Plymouth Rock landed. Verse 15, these men went together to the king and said to him, you know, your majesty, that it is law and it cannot be changed. So the king gave in. I'm cutting across the grass. He put a stone, verse 17, over the mouth of the den with the lions inside and Daniel inside and sealed it with his ring. Look at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and he could not sleep. So he tried to rescind the edict. He tried to take it all back because he had been deceived, but he couldn't. They tricked him. They bamboozled him. And then the second thing in his pain is he's restless. This king is a noble king. He can't rest because he knows the potential of what could happen. So essentially, he's praying all night. You know who else is praying all night? Daniel is praying all night. You see the miraculous hand of God because Daniel is able to pray all night. Oh, I need a witness up in here. So the pain, he tries to rescind the edict. He's restless throughout the night. But somebody say, joy comes in the morning. Come on, say, joy comes in the morning. Come on, say, joy comes in the morning. There is relief in verse 19. It says, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions? He needed to know that up front. Y'all, let's talk about the difference maker. As we submit and surrender our whole lives to the Lord, he makes the difference for us. See, I need for you to understand something. When you make a decision to dare to be different, you turn the power over to the Lord. When you submit and surrender your life to be different, God takes over and he becomes your advocate. Has he ever fought a battle for you? Has he ever beat some folk up that had you? Oh my God, they had you where they wanted you, and at the right time, God stepped in and he delivered you. They're still trying to figure out how you got out of their hands. Y'all, this plot, it was evil. The pain that King Darius experienced was real. But the power is what makes the difference. Let me give you this real quickly. Here it is. Prayerful hearts led to shut mouths. Oh, prayerful hearts led to shut mouths. Verse 21, it's time for Daniel to say something. Then Daniel spoke to the king. May the king live forever. Just stop right there. The fact that he can talk, the fact that he can say something. See, the king is waiting. He doesn't know what has happened. Daniel has been in this den all night with these lions. He said, Daniel, has your God saved you? Daniel said, what's up, Doc? My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, and they haven't harmed me, for I was found innocent before him and also before you, your majesty. I have not done harm. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. When he was brought up from the den, he was found to be unharmed. I'm trying to close this, but I need you to know that prayerful hearts will lead to shut mouths. Oh, God. See, you think you got to fight them back. You think you got to out-talk them. You think you got to out. You ain't got to do nothing, child of God. You pray and you watch how God handles the situation. In this situation, he closed mouths. In your situation, he may get folks moved out of your department. I need a witness up in here. They don't want to do what God Almighty, God will move them before you realize it. I'm trying to close, but right now, you're in this den of a situation. You're praying, but it just don't feel right. Yesterday at the health fair, a lady told me one of my struggles is Pop-Tarts. I got a problem with Pop-Tarts. I tried to buy some healthy Pop-Tarts, and they're still on the shelf. Pop-Tarts. Y'all, there's something about Pop-Tarts. I'm trying to close, but Pop-Tarts on my brain right now. See, Pop-Tarts, I'm a professional Pop-Tart popper. So you put them in the toaster. You hear me, Jeremy? You put them in the toaster. And oftentimes, if the timer is not right, they'll pop up too quickly. There's nothing worse than a Pop-Tart that's half done. Don't look at me like that, KC. There's nothing wrong. Nothing worse than a Pop-Tart that's half done. And so what I have to do is I have to push it back down. God, I feel that by myself, because the Pop-Tart ain't done. You got to have a Pop-Tart that's cooked through and through so that when you separate it, you see a little smoke. I feel a witness up in here. And what I'm learning about our fiery situations and our den situations is we try to pop up too fast. But God is like, no, child of God, get on back in the den. Get on back in the fire. I know it's hot down there. I know the lions are there, but get on back in there, because when you are done, you'll pop up looking better than you did before. Is there a witness in the house that can testify? Yeah, I'm different. I don't act like everybody else. I don't look like everybody else. But watch this. I'm popped up for God's glory. Give God some praise up in this place. Don't you compromise your convictions. Don't compromise what God has done for you. And by, God will get the glory. Give God a hand of praise up in this place. Come on and praise him like you feel it. Give him glory like he deserves it. Open up your mouth in this place. Come on, church. Hey! I love it. I love it. Woo! Thank you. Everybody stand up. Come on, stand up. Come on, encourage your neighbor. Stand up. Tell them be different. Tell them be different. Tell them be different. Tell them it's going to be okay. Come on. Tell them you know it's hot. You know the lions are roaming around trying to devour them, but tell them it's going to be okay. Woo! When you pray, the mouths are shut. When you pray, the fire won't burn you. When you pray, come on, come on, come on, encourage your neighbor. I want you to bow. No one move. I want you to bow right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are blown away by your goodness and your glory and your word. We're blown away, Lord, by your sovereignty over our lives. Lord, you've allowed us to be in situations where people are conspiring. Lord, it's hard. It's just not right, Lord. It hurts. And Lord, I don't know who I'm dealing with or talking to, but I know someone under the sound of my voice can feel what I'm preaching right now. And so even for our young people, Lord, I pray that they would understand that being different gets them noticed. But Father, may they be courageous. May they not give in. May they not give up, even when they're in the fire. Even when it gets hot and tough and hard. Even when everyone seems to abandon them. Oh, Father, you can do it. So I pray for their courage as they prepare to go back to school in a week or two or three. That they would step onto the campuses different. Not loud, but lit. For your glory. This is our prayer that we submit to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Come on.